Hello there. I am the Projectionist, and welcome to my sinister Tales of Terror. So, what you have found, Ross Shirey, in your research for this Three Kings ritual sounds very similar to that of the Midnight Man.
I agree, Projectionist, to a point. There are subtle differences, to be sure, and the journal that Preston Griffith located in the Vault Library is an interesting piece of evidence. I think the listeners will want to hear about it.
You do not fear that perhaps this is too similar, though. We won't be treading familiar ground, as the kids these days say.
Not in the least. I have to say that the Haddonfield Tribune, the work of Martin Arnold, it's showing a side of Haddonfield, well, I'm not sure I would be comfortable living in such a place.
Hogwash, Russ. Every town has its deep and dark secrets, after all.
That's what I'm talking about, Projectionist. Just correlating the evidence from about 3 years' worth of newspaper articles by Arnold. I would say Haddonfield has about 175% more supernatural or violent happenings than other cities.
Why? That just means you were focusing only on the negatives, dear boy. There is much to love of my Haddonfield, I assure you. I'm not just referring to the haunted drive-in, of course. I do look forward to you getting a chance to visit me there. Yes.
Well, hold that thought. The recording light isn't on. We should be recording by now.
Ooh! I made sure this time to cover the light with some of intern Rockford J's electrical tape. That way the retroist isn't able to spy on me throughout the day.
You do know the light just means it's recording, right? It's not a camera. And we are in fact recording. How is it that you have at least four different clocks in here and not one of them is set properly?
Time is an illusion, Ross. But you know what this means? It means our dear listeners have returned for another of my sinister Tales of Terror radio broadcasts. What research have you brought us this week?
This time, listeners, we are going to be talking about a semi-secret ritual known as the Three Kings. Some of my research, however, has pointed to this ritual also being called Entering the Shadow Side. That comes from a small group online, though. In a 1989 article by Martin Arnold, he calls it the Three Kings. So that's what we're going to go with for this episode.
What in the deuce is the Shadowverse?
Shadow Side. That small group I just mentioned references the shadow side as being that point in your dream state where everything is just so vivid that you just might possibly have entered another realm.
In all of my travels and experiences, dear listeners, I have never heard of the Shadowverse. Not once.
Shadow. Side. For what it's worth, listeners, this journal belonged to one Randy Wright, a medical student enrolled at Hillman College. Somehow, the vault received the journal. No idea how that's possible, but...
Preston Griffith is quite capable as head librarian for the vault, I can assure you. Besides, best not to ask how he procures your research material.
Well, Martin Arnold supplied sections of the journal for his Haddonfield Tribune article. It appears that Wright was attempting to communicate with otherworldly... entities might be the best way to put that. It's all rather vague. However, the ritual can deliver unwanted results. More on that later. For setting up the Three Kings ritual, which, much like the Midnight Man, I strongly suggest you do not try to do that. Wright wrote you would need the following items. A very large, empty, and quiet room. A basement might work best, since you will be dealing with a candle and open flame. A lighter for the candle. Wright wrote he used one of those big, flexible lighters. In addition, you will need a container of water and a mug.
In case you get thirsty?
No. This will be used by a second party, a friend or loved one, if things go wrong. You will need 3 chairs in the ritual as well as 2 mirrors. but they need to be medium to full-size mirrors. You will also need a small fan, cell phone, and, in the case of rites performed ritual, an alarm clock. Oh, I almost forgot. You will also need something you hold very dear, something small, like a childhood toy, perhaps. The setup for the ritual must be started before midnight. To give yourself plenty of time, you can start at 11 p.m. One chair must be facing true north. This is very important. Within this ritual, the chairs are known as thrones, hence the three kings. This north-facing throne will be where you sit once the ritual truly begins. Set up the other chairs to the right and left of your throne. These two are called the queen and fool thrones. Make sure the two chairs are facing you, and this is where you will place the two mirrors. Wright wrote that these mirrors should be at a 90-degree angle, so that you can see straight ahead and only straight ahead during the ritual. But it allows you to recognize images within the mirrors from the corners of your eyeline. The bucket and water should be placed somewhere within easy reach behind you. Not for you, but for your second if it's needed. The fan will also be placed directly behind you. If, during the ritual, for some reason, your body was to suddenly be moved to one side, the fan will blow the candle out.
A safety precaution, then, yes?
Okay. According to Wright's journal, the last thing you should do in the room you plan to perform the Three Kings ritual in is turn the fan on, turn out the lights, take the toy or cherished possession with you, and make sure the door to the room is open when you leave. The reason for this is if the door is shut upon returning at 3:30 a.m., or the fan is off, or if the alarm you set didn't go off exactly at 3:30 a.m., Wright warns you and your second are to leave immediately.
3:30 a.m., you say? The time when it has been rumored that ghosts, spirits, and the demonic begin to move about.
That's what people say, projectionist. Wright wrote down he and his friend, he never mentions who his second was, tried to perform the ritual twice, but upon returning found the fan off and, the other time, the door was closed. While you are away, you should keep that toy or possession with you at all times. I will admit that the journal doesn't exactly explain the significance, but I will assume it's meant as a totem, an item you can draw comfort from. Beginning at 3:30 a.m., you will have only until 3:33 a.m. to light that candle, holding it in front of you, making sure your body as you take your throne is blocking the fan. Do not focus on the candle or the mirrors. Look straight ahead. The movement in the mirrors supposedly will let you know when the others have arrived. You're free to ask what you will of the others, the entities that have decided to attend the ritual with you. And they will answer your questions, although you may not want to hear what they have to tell you. The last thing that Wright wrote in his journal was that others who had also had dealings with the shadow side warned about the nature of the ritual itself. As you may think you were in control, but your seat, to another, perhaps a more powerful entity, your chair might be their fool or queen. Your second should be your failsafe, listeners. They are to enter the room with you 1 hour later, calling your name first. If you do not answer, they must enter and attempt to solve what might be an issue. The water can be tossed on the participant of the ritual, the cell phone may be called, and even the chair's possession may be yanked away, interrupting the three kings if something has gone awry. Projectionist, I want you to read this section of the journal. While I said that the last entry of Wright's was the warnings of others who had performed the three kings, there's one last entry, of sorts. Slipped into the young man's journal was a typewritten letter. Read this to the listeners, won't you?
I thought it was all a joke. Randy was always playing stupid jokes. I am so sorry I didn't believe him. While he went in the basement to do the ritual, I fell asleep. Please forgive me. I know the cops will think Randy killed himself, or worse, was murdered. He performed the Three Kings to find out about Winnie, his younger sister. She was abducted when he was a teenager, and he just wanted to find out where she might be. I am sorry, Randy. Oh my, Ross.
Indeed. The campus authorities assume that Randy Wright cut his own wrists. The pressure of midterms too much to bear. But as Martin Arnold pointed out, why would a medical student use his own teeth to gnaw into his wrists? Arnold was definitely a believer in the supernatural happenings of Haddonfield. At this point, listeners, and even in his article, he states that he fears Wright phrased the questions poorly. The young man learned what happened to Winnie, Perhaps he even looked into one of the mirrors. And what he saw... Well, let's end it there, shall we?
That sounds like a good idea indeed, Ross. Maybe we should stoke the fire. It's getting a little too dark in here for my like. Return to us again next week, dear listeners, for more of the Projectionist Sinister Tales of Terror. I hope you are enjoying Season 2 of our radio show. If you would like to reach me on the internets, you may do so by Facebook. Projectionist Haunted Drive-In. Naturally, I wish to thank my assistant, Ross Shirey, for his research. Pedestrian as it might be. I should also thank the Retroist for carrying my show on his station. When you wish to learn of the joy and history of pop culture, you should visit the Retroist. This has been a Retroist production. Sleep well and goodbye.